Pull up a chair and join us at the table this week for another episode of Paper, Pencil, Dice, a tabletop role-playing podcast.
Welcome back again to Paper, Pencil, Dice, everybody. On this episode of Paper, Pencil, Dice, our heroes, somehow they're still calling themselves the Platypus Gang. They solved the puzzles in the gauntlet. The last one suspiciously seemed already solved or absent, vacant. Somehow strange. At the very end of the last episode, Aether had just ducked around the corner to figure out what was down there. He heard zombies, and everyone heard a gasp of surprise and heard him fall to the ground. And we'll come up to that and find out what happened in just a moment. So first of all, let's start by introducing everyone here. So Tegan, do you want to go ahead and give us an introduction?
Yeah, my name's Chris. I'm the other Chris. I'm playing Tegan, the gnome. He was big for a little bit last episode. Now he's small again, but he's smart. And he's a sorcerer, wearing a regular just brown cloak.
All right. And what is the look on Tegan's face after having seen his friend Aether go around the corner and suddenly fall?
He's still mad about being short.
All right. Up next is Jethal.
Hey, my name's Chris. I'm playing Jethal. I'm a elf wizard. Apparently the benefactor. I would be interested to know what happened, but at the same time, very cautious.
Okay.
I think.
All right. Up next, Hup, you want to go ahead and introduce yourself?
This is Mark. I'm playing Hup Bottomsworth. I am a human rogue. I'd already had my rapier drawn because I believed that everyone else was vampires for a bit. And probably cautiously and probably going to start stealthing around to look around the corner to see if I can see what actually is going on.
All right. And last but not least, Aether, do you want to go ahead and introduce yourself before I tell you what happened to you?
I mean, I would, but I'm not sure if I'm conscious or not, so I don't know if I can respond. But this is Brian. I play Aether. When Aether had gone out into the hallway here to investigate what was going on, he was equipped with his long sword and shield, but we'll see if he's wearing the shield right now or using it as a pillow or what. I don't know. We'll find out.
All right. So, to describe what happened to you, you are in the hallway here. And as you walk down it, a zombie kind of leapt at you. Unfortunately, you didn't get a good glimpse at it before it kind of halfway tackled you to the ground. You are still armed at the moment. So if you want to... go ahead, and we're going to go ahead and jump into combat here. It's a single zombie against Aether. Got the jump on him, so the zombie's going to get to go first. But Aether will get to go second, and then in the following rounds, the rest of the party will be able to join in. So go ahead and roll your initiative, Aether, and whatever you roll, the zombie goes one faster.
Okie dokie.
All right.
It looks like I got an 8.
You got an 8. Okay, so we're going to say this zombie goes up. So its attack against you. So it's trying to like bite at you or something like that while you're on the ground.
It explains why the zombie was able to get the jump on me is I only got an 8 in initiative.
So, does a 24 hit your armor class?
Well, yes, it does.
All right. So, its bite deals... Actually, it's a pretty nasty bite. It deals 8 damage to you.
Okay.
And so, after that, you have the opportunity to take your turn.
All right. Well, let me see. Am I prone or anything like that?
You are. You could take one action, and stand up. And then you'd still have your other two actions remaining.
Can I do something where I shift my position? Because I'm assuming that the zombie's on top of me, right?
It's like hanging on to you. This isn't really a goal, so you're not like held in place. But yes, it's holding on to you somehow.
I'm wondering if I can just roll it and get it onto its back so that I'm in a commanding position at that point.
Okay. Go ahead and give me a strength check. See if you can pull that off. Or actually, let's do an athletics check.
Okay. 13.
All right. And it... It seems like you're able to get out. Despite you essentially getting to the point where you would knock it over, it seems to kind of grab it, like get its feet under itself. So you find yourself just standing face to face against it after that.
All right, I'll take my next action to... I'm on my feet now, though, yeah?
You are on your feet, correct.
I'll take my next action to attack it with my longsword here, using a slashing attack.
All right, go ahead and roll it.
Let's see. Okay, looks like I rolled... A 21.
All right. A 21 is not only enough to hit it, but that's actually enough to critically hit it.
Okay.
So how much damage do you do on a critical hit?
A critical hit on this appears to be...
You'd add your damage and your critical damage together.
So that I've got critical damage of 10 and 9 damage for slashing.
I believe that's correct. Let me double check that. 5-1. I was incorrect. Your critical damage is actually separate. They're separate rolls. So your critical hit does 10 damage. I apologize. The roll 20 system, it actually rolls two damage rolls separately and doubles one of them in case it happens to be a crit. And that's why it's showing as red, because you rolled a 1 on the damage on that. So you do 10 damage instead of 9, which is, you know, better.
I've had the sweet dice today, I must say. Hopefully I'll get this out of the way with this zombie.
Yeah. All right, so that was Aether. And the next round...
Do I get a third action there? Or?
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, I apologize. Go ahead and take your third action.
Does it kill him?
That attack did not kill him, no.
Okay. All right.
It did appear that the slashing attack pretty effective on him, though. It seemed to gash him pretty wide open, and one of his arms is just hanging on by a thread.
I'm going to take another attack then, because I feel like I'm going to press the advantage here, and he seems wounded him pretty good, so.
All right, let's go ahead and roll it.
And it's a -5, yeah?
That is correct.
So I got a 22.
Got a 22. Well, that is also a critical.
Okay. And then I'd be 22 on damage.
All right. So you, with your second hit, it's a little bit more haphazard because it's your second hit and you're just kind of following through your first one. But your first hit kind of buried your sword in and you used your raw strength and just kind of pushed it the rest of the way through it, cutting it completely in half, and it fell lifeless to the ground. As you finish that, turning around, you see Hup first, quickly dashing around the corner, followed by Jethal and Tegan. The three of you come around the corner and see a really nasty bite right in Aether's face.
Now, is there anything that I would know whether this is infected bite or anything? Or is that be a medicine check or anything like
that? That would, in fact, be a medicine check, yes.
Here. I take a look.
You got something there.
Yeah, he caught me unaware.
A little schmutz or something right in your cheek.
Little schmutz.
I rolled a 9 on my medicine check. He's fine.
he's fine then.
from what Tegan can tell, none of the zombie teeth came loose. So it's probably not gonna, not gonna remain in the bite wound.
Okay.
You feel safe, right?
I'm leery of Tegan's medicine skills, I must say. They have not been very very good this whole campaign. But
he's the medicine guy though.
Does he have a very confident look on his face?
Yes, he does, in fact. He is absolutely certain that there are no teeth in.
All right. I'm biting him first if I turn into a zombie. All right.
But among all of you, you do hear fighting up ahead. So there appears to be a room directly ahead of you where there is probably one of the guild members. It would be the best guess that you have. And four zombies that have him surrounded, and he is already wounded and trying to battle back the zombies themselves.
And that's the only door that we see?
It's a straight hallway. So this hallway leads to what looks like sort of a food area. There's some kegs of probably some sort of alcoholic beverage, a small section where there's more bottles stored, and a table with probably some bread and some more half-drank bottles of alcohol. You see a couple of corpses in the room of other people wearing the guild tabards, kind of the gold and silver tabards that the guild wears, or generally pretty much only around inside the this lair. They typically don't wear their tabard out in the city above. But the only one of the three people in here still appears to be surviving and is surrounded on nearly all sides by Zoth.
I'm going to go help him.
Okay, so I'm going to go ahead and put all of you guys here on the map. And for apparently we get two hups at one time because I dragged the wrong person out there.
It'll double. So we would.
So while he's doing that, I'm gonna pull a fire. I'm gonna pull the necklace down and have that ready to go. I'm gonna pull my staff out, ready to go. So I've got my staff and the fireball necklace.
Okay. So Aether, I will give you a choice. You can either keep the initiative you rolled last time, or you can roll it again, engaging in yet another combat.
I think I am more aware of what combat's going on right now, so I think I should be able to ready myself for combat, so I'm going to reroll.
Yep.
And it looks like I got a 19.
All right, we're going to go around to everybody else and ask what everyone got. So, Jethal, what'd you roll?
Rolled a 20.
All right, and Tegan, what'd you roll?
I got a 9. No. Wrong person. I got a 17.
17. And Aether, you said you rolled a 19?
Yep.
All right. And Hup, what did you get on your initiative?
Now, I mentioned I was going to be stealthy. So I'm going to use my...
You can roll your stealth for your initiative.
So I add 8 to that. I rolled a 12. Modified.
Okay. So Hup is hanging back a little bit. He's using stealth to wait for the right moment to strike. And so we will go ahead and go in turn orders. Can everyone see the battle mat here?
Yes.
Yep.
All right. So up first, it looks like it is Jethal.
Oh, boy. Okay. Let's see here. I'm going to move up to just the cusp of the room. I think.
Go ahead and move yourself up.
Yeah, I think I'm just going to move there.
All right, that's your first action.
Yep. And then I want to cast a spell. What spell do I want to use, though, is the question. I just will actually do I'm going to do Greece. I need to draw. I want to do Greece, like, right here. In these four.
All right. Okay, sounds good. Is there any role required from you, or is that just automatically happen?
That automatically happens.
Two affected have to make a save immediately, right?
Yes, they have to make a reflex save.
All right, let me roll that.
And it will be a...
Okay, the first one gets an 11, and the second one gets a 14.
Both miss, so it has to be, it's a DC 18.
All right. So I will go ahead and mark the area that is greasy.
I'm going to go try to read.
And I will flag both of them as having fallen down. And all right, that is...
That's me.
Your turn. So up next is Aether.
All right. My movement speed is 25. So 1, 2, 3, 5.
I don't know if you know this, but you can actually use a little measuring.
Yeah. Just trying to think. I think I just want to make two movement actions, I think, to get up to probably at the max. Yeah, right next to that chair.
Okay.
Right there. That's a couple. It's like 10 feet in front of Jethal. That way people have to move past me to get to Jethal, but it leaves room for Tegan and Hup to get into the room.
Okay. You can go ahead and move yourself there.
Okay. I think I want to go... Let me think. Probably about there.
Go one closer to us.
No, I think I want to be here because that allows people to get in behind me, but the creatures still have to come through me to get to you.
Go one closer to us so I can help you.
Right there?
Yes, thank you.
But that sticks you guys in the hall.
That's fine. For me, I don't care.
All right.
My movement speed is 25 also, and I'm trying to bless you.
Well, so I didn't move my full. That would be my full movement speed. So this is one space further. So that's ruler, right?
Ruler.
Oh, sometimes using roll 20 just confuses me. But this is...
You want to use the ruler to figure out?
Yeah. Okay, so. That's a 45. It's a 40-foot. For you to move up to that square behind me.
That's perfect. Yeah, never mind. We're good.
Okay.
All right. So you have one more action left.
I think I will raise my shield.
Okay. Sounds good. Your shield is raised. Up next is Tegan.
I'm going to move up behind Aether.
Okay. You can go ahead and move yourself up.
And I'm going to cast... I can move myself up, sure.
And do you want to move up to say, yeah, right there? That's good because that will leave a spot for Hup to come in.
Good. So, what are you going to cast?
Magic weapon.
Magic weapon. How many actions is casting magic weapon?
Two actions.
Okay, you've already used two actions to move.
Oh, the double move is two actions?
Correct.
Crud.
Yeah, because you move 45 feet, so.
Nuts. All right, I'll cast shield then.
All right, you have.
Well, what's the range of your magic weapon? Is the magic weapon in your hand, or is it a floating magic weapon?
No, it's a touch spell to help other people get a second, what's called a strike.
Yeah, it's the striking ability where he does double dice damage.
Double damage, yeah. I have to touch the weapon, basically.
Yeah, it's the spell as he touches the weapon that he's granting magic abilities to.
Okay.
All right, so that is... All right, so you said you're using your third action. I'm casting spells.
Yeah.
Okay. Up next is Hup.
So I'm going to move up about to where the Jethal is and use... does it cost me an action to draw a weapon?
If you're, you can, typically the answer is yes, but you are allowed to draw a weapon as part of moving for free.
So I will draw my short bow and use that to attack. This is the creature up in the yellow square, right?
There's two creatures in the yellow square. There's one right there, and then there's one right there.
So I'm going to use my short bow to attack the one with the red square on him.
Okay. We're just drawing all over the map. All right, go ahead and roll your attack. So did you... did you single move or double move when you moved up?
That would have been a single move.
Okay, so you're going to roll the attack twice?
I'll attack twice, yes.
All right, so what did you get on the first attack?
First attack is a 10.
Now, this guy's prone or flat-footed, yeah?
He is prone, which normally makes it easier to hit with melee weapons, but prone actually makes it harder to hit with ranged weapons because you have a lower profile.
Oh, he's prone.
Okay. And would this be a sneak attack since he was from sneak?
It would be a sneak attack. It doesn't actually grant him any hit, but it does grant us to damage if he hits.
Okay.
I mean, the zombie's flat-footed, but the zombie's always flat-footed, so it's not it really doesn't grant any advantage on that.
Sure. So my first attack would have been a 10. I'm not sure if that hits or not.
That is not a hit on a prone zombie.
Okay, and the second attack is actually less. It's a 9, so it's a miss as well.
And it would also be minus 4 on top of that as well.
Right. Yeah, absolutely.
Or minus 5 for the second attack. So both of your shots go and hit the tankard just behind the zombie. And a little bit more of this, whatever alcohol begins leaking out of that tankard.
Okay.
All right. So after Hup, we will go to... the zombies. I'm sorry, no. First of all, the member of the guard, or the member of the guild, rather. He will go, and he is going to try to move towards you guys a little bit. And he just essentially just runs away from the zombies, comes up to Aether and says, "Save me, save me!" And that is going to be his whole turn. So, for the zombies, the first one that's going to go is this here. So, question for you, Jethal.
Yep.
When he tries to stand up, does he have to make a save to stand up?
Let me double check. I don't think so.
Yes, he has to make it a reflex saving throw.
Okay, to succeed at standing up.
Using an action to move.
Each creature standing, but then a creature that steps or crawls doesn't have to attempt a check or save, it says. Creatures using an action to move onto the greasy surface must attempt a reflex save or acrobatics check, but if you're already in it, they don't.
So if he stands up and leaves the square, and because there's an adjacent square where it's not greasy, he can just stand up and leave it, essentially.
That's what I'm reading it as.
So he stands up, and then he walks forward. That's two actions. And then he takes his third action and attempts to attack this member of the Dread Crown. And he seems to kind of slip a little bit. There's probably some grease still on his feet, and he doesn't really hit him, but he also doesn't quite fall over. Up next is the other zombie. He stands up, he moves forward, and since now he's moving through He has to make a reflex save, or I assume fall prone. Would that be correct, Tathal?
Yeah, I believe so.
Well, he rolls a natural one, so he falls back down, and then he stands back up, and that is his turn. And then the next zombie will move down here and attempt to attack Aether. And he is, he gets two attacks on Aether. The first attack does a 13 hit your armor class, Aether.
Nope.
Sorry, I didn't hear if you responded.
Nope, it did not.
Okay. His second attack is a 20. Does a 20 hit your armor class, Aether?
No, it does not.
Okay, then he missed you entirely. And then the other one is, these are zombies, so they're not really that bright. The one that's behind the grease walks into the grease, trying to walk around the other zombie. And falls over. So there are two prone zombies that are in the grease. And then that is the end of the zombie's turn. So up next is Jethal.
All right. I will attack the one that's in front of Aether. I'm going to use Ray of Frost. I guess it rolled. Yeah, so I rolled a 24 for hit.
Okay.
I'm assuming that hit.
That does, in fact, hit.
Okay.
So, I'm sorry, which one were you targeting again?
The one in front of Aether.
Got it, okay. All right, and how much damage do you deal? And, in fact, that's a critical hit.
Oh, it is?
Yes.
Okay. If that's the case, then I rolled a 14 for damage.
Alrighty. So he takes 14 damage. And he is pretty, it seems like the zombies, surprisingly enough, are pretty well affected by frostbite. Like some of his limbs are just kind of creaking and cracking apart.
And since that was critical, he also takes a minus 10-foot status penalty for its speed for one round.
Sounds good.
Not all right. That probably matters, but, you know.
And how many actions was Ray of Frost?
Two. And okay. That's... I'll cast...
You'll cast what?
I'm done. I'm done. That's okay. All I'm going to do.
Up next is Tegan.
All right, so I'm going to cast the magic weapon on Aether.
Okay.
And that gives him the striking rune, which increases his weapon's number, weapon damage dice by one. So if you rolled a d8, you now you get to roll two d8s. I don't know what your weapon die is. And then, can I tell how badly hurt he is?
How badly hurt Aether is?
Yeah.
You can give me a medicine check to see how badly hurt he is.
I could probably say that, I took one bite, but, I've been able to dodge these guys pretty good.
Okay. So, yeah, you, okay, so it looks like Aether, tell, but he did cast magic weapon. All right, so that's Tegan's turn, and so it looks like we accidentally skipped Aether's turn. He was supposed to go before him, but since Tegan did kind of give him the magical enhancement there, it makes sense for Aether to have held his turn, but that's up to you, Aether. Do you want to have held your turn, or do you want to retroactively go back and take your turn before Tegan?
Oh, no, that's okay. I was thinking about, because I know Tegan's got that spell and he likes to use it, so I figured that'd be good to wait on.
Cool. Well, then we will go ahead and go to Aether's turn then next.
All right. Let me see. Well, I've got the one just in front of me, yeah?
Yeah, you have one in front of you, and then to the... So immediately in front of you is a zombie, and then to the left of that zombie is someone who is wearing the garb of a Dreadcrowns member.
Gotcha.
But he seems less interested in attacking you and more interested in having you protect him from these zombies.
Yep, that's fine. I think I'll just go ahead and take an attack against the zombie, slashing attack.
Okay. Don't forget you have the... So it was already a magic weapon, right? Like you already had a magic bonus to attack?
Correct.
But now that Tegan cast his magic weapon on it, it also now has striking, which means it doesn't add any additional damage to the damage other than it adds an additional die of damage. So if it was like a d6, it's now 2d6 or so on and so forth.
Correct. All right. So let's just go ahead and roll, and then I'll do an additional. Does a 25 hit?
It not only hits, but it crits.
Okay.
So then you would roll the additional damage twice.
Get it, son.
So let me just do another. So would that mean that that's two criticals?
I would just say a critical would be fine.
Okay. So I would say it's 34.
All right. That sounds like it's a totally dead zombie.
And in fact,
actually, you hit the zombie at this point, based upon how many hit points it had left, and you hit the zombie hard enough, I would rule that you just straight up cut the zombie in half, and I will let you choose. Did you cut him, you know, horizontally or vertically, like in half?
Oh, no, I totally did an uppercut swing from taking the sword from the ground all the way up.
All right, so you... You made a wish with the zombie. So we have two half zombies that are not moving anymore. And a even slightly more freaked out Dreadcrowns member adjacent to that now bisected zombie. So you still have two actions left, Aether. So what would you like to do?
Let me think here. What else have
Get
I
it.
Got going on?
Get it.
Can I do like an intimidating glare or something on these guys?
I'm not going to cost you an action, but give me a religion check really quick.
A religion check?
Yeah.
Let me see if I've got religion.
I mean, you can still make it untrained, so.
I've got an 8.
Then yes, you absolutely can make an intimidating glare against these guys.
So that is I am going to glare at these guys and they're going to be like, ha. I don't even care. All right. So I'll do an intimidating glare.
All right. Go ahead and roll your intimidation check.
17.
Okay. So I will tell you this. Normally they'd be affected, but zombies are immune to any psychological effects.
Oh, fabulous. Oh, I didn't really have anything else to do, so I didn't really want to move. So I'm just going to stay in place and I will raise my shield for the final action.
That's fine. All right, so that ready your shield for your final action, and that is your turn, correct, Aether?
Yep.
All right, up next is Hup.
So what I'm going to do is I'm going to use an action to light a arrow on fire and then fire it at those barrels, which I think are leaking some type of flammable liquid, right?
It appears to be, at least based on scent, either a flammable liquid or alcohol, which potentially is also a flammable liquid.
Right, it could be, you know... ethanol or gasoline or something like that. So I'm going to shoot an arrow. So obviously it's not moving. It has no armor. So it's an armor class of...
So a non-moving object of that size would have roughly an armor class of 5. So first of all, to successfully light an arrow on fire, I will require you to give me a survival check. It's a pretty low DC, but you still need to do it.
Survival.
Okay. What'd you get?
23.
All right. 23 is
far more than enough. So yeah, you light the arrow on fire with ease. And so then you are going to launch it at the large barrel behind the zombies?
Yes.
All right. Go ahead and give me just a basic ranged attack roll.
28. With your short roll.
All right. A 28 is, in fact, a natural. I believe you rolled a natural 20 there from what I'm seeing in roll 20. So you add another 10 to that. So 38 is enough. It was more than 10 above the armor class of the barrel.
Now, this is a nitroglycerin tipped arrow.
So that's probably a bad idea to have lit that on fire while it was in your hand, then.
It's probably fine.
It'll all work out, trust me. All right, so yeah, you fire it off, and so the barrel explodes. And everything within 20 feet of that barrel is potentially within range. So let's see. It looks like, luckily, Aether chose not to move forward. But the flames are going to come right up to him. So, like, you feel a lot of heat right in front of you, Aether. But go ahead and give me a roll of, let's say, 3d6 is how much the explosive alcohol that comes out of it is.
That will be 18.
On 3D, you rolled maximum damage. That is amazing. All right, well, let's see. I got to check these guys. All right, so they get reflex saves against that. So...
Do I get, since it was a critical hit on the barrels, would it be 36? Nudge,
for
nudge,
the DC? Wink. Nudge, nudge, like, good try. failure, and for the guy that's part of the, part of the group, or I'm sorry, part of the Dread Crowns, he gets a... natural one. Really bad failure. So, you heavily injure, but unfortunately do not kill any of the zombies. And much to your advantage, and quick question to Jethal here. Is grease flammable at all? The grease spell?
I don't
think it is. I think it's a non-flammable grease.
What? There's no such thing, is there?
I mean, it could be.
It doesn't say.
I believe, to the best of my recollection, it is, or it is not flammable. So,
it is magical in nature.
I mean, it doesn't say that it is, so I'm going to assume that it's not.
That's fair. All right, so it is non-flammable grease, which means it's neither affected positively nor negatively by the fire, and all of the. The zombies look heavily injured by that attack.
How's the Dread Crown? Is he okay?
He is, as far as you can tell, not dead, but has lost consciousness.
In a pile of flames.
In a pile of flames.
In a pile of flames, yes.
So like now it...
And some sweat when the heat is on. That's all I'm saying.
So, yeah. The zombie's going. So, this one back here,
Do I get my other two actions?
Oh, yeah. You should probably take those actions.
So, I'm going to attack...
Well, you get one more action, because you spent one action lighting the arrow on fire, and one arrow firing it.
So, is that guy right ahead of Aether? Is that Aether or Jethal that's right there?
This is Aether. He's the furthest in front.
The guy right in front of him, is he conscious?
That guy right there? No, that is the Dread Crowns guy who is now unconscious.
Okay, so the next guy back to the left is...
This guy there?
Yep.
He is conscious and standing.
Super.
And
we're going to put one
kind of burning. All right, go ahead and roll it.
So 20 modified.
That will hit. Go ahead and roll your damage.
He takes a whopping 3 points.
And that takes him down.
Hey! No. Look at that.
I didn't want to take his head off.
So up next goes this one back here. So he is going to stand up, try moving forward. What's the DC on your grease spell, Jethal?
It's 18.
Okay, he steps forward, slips, and falls down again. And then...
Such a simple spell, but so amazing.
Especially when they're zombies and they're not really thinking much other than moving exactly. forward. And then the other one stands up and moves up to Aether and takes a single attack.
And hits his shield.
And does a 13 hit you, Aether?
Nope.
All right. So that is his turn. And the Dread Crown Sky does not stabilize and continues bleeding out. up next is Jethal.
Yeah. I'm going to attack the guy in the grease yet.
Okay. He is... I'm sorry, go ahead.
I'm just going to do a produce flame on him.
Okay. I will warn you, he does have a slight bonus to his armor class because he is prone, which makes it harder to hit with ranged attacks.
Sure.
Is that okay?
That's fine.
All right.
I rolled a 20.
All right. That is still enough to hit him even while prone.
Excellent. He'll take 5 damage.
All right. That finishes him off.
All right. I'm going to run up to the Dread Crown and cast Stabilize.
Jethal still has one more action because that cost 2, correct?
My bad.
That did cost 2. But I don't think there's anything else I'm going to do. So all right. I'm good with that.
All right. So up next is Tegan.
Why are we still doing initiative? Isn't the battle over?
No, there's still one zombie standing in front of Aether.
Still a zombie up.
Oh, I didn't see him. All right, I'm going to run to, no matter the danger, I'm still going to run up to the other guy and cast Stabilize.
Okay.
It's a cantrip.
Can you tell me what Stabilize does?
When someone is bleeding out or dying of something besides like ability damage, it stops them from dying.
Does it heal them at all, or?
I don't think so.
Okay. All right. So he is stabilized then.
Okay.
And how many actions is stabilized?
1.
Okay.
And then I'm going to move back behind Mr. Aether.
So you're going to move up, stabilize, and move back.
Yep.
All right. Sounds good. Is that your turn?
Yep.
All right. Up next is Aether.
All right. Well, let's take out this other zombie here that's sitting right here.
Okay.
So once again, a long sword attack, slashing attack.
Okay.
And I got a 20.
You got, in fact, a 20. That will hit.
All right. And
our rolls seem to be doing fairly well today.
They do. Well, for at least at this point, anyway.
And so how long does that bless on my weapon last? Is it for the entire battle, or is it just for a turn? How long?
The magic weapon enhancement? That's a good question. Tegan, what is the duration on that spell?
Give me just a second. I can find it out while we keep going.
Okay.
That was 1 minute.
Okay,
I think it's 1 minute per level, but I'll check.
So we got time. So it should still be active, yeah?
It would definitely still be active this round, yes.
Okay. So then I would have done a total of 16 damage.
Alrighty. That is pretty good. By the way, so I noticed that you rolled the damage twice, but you only add the damage die twice, not the bonus twice. So actually it would be 4 less than that. So 12 damage.
Okay.
But regardless of that, it still kills him.
Yeah, cool.
So I'm going to go ahead and remove your grease spell unless you're opposed there, Jethal.
Nope. Yeah, I would dispel it at that point. Yep. And there's nothing else there.
All right. So combat is now complete.
All right. It does not say in the... I'm looking at the archives of Nethys, Pathfinder 2E out of game, and I'm not seeing a duration.
What's the spell called?
Magic Weapon.
Magic Weapon. It's on Core Rule Book, page 599. But I'm looking online.
Duration, 1 minute.
1 minute. Not a minute a level, just straight 1 minute.
Straight 1 minute, yep.
All right, thanks.
Okay. I'm going to go cast heal on the Dread Crown dude.
Okay.
Oh, no. We got a potion, don't we?
And this, I guess on here it's saying for that spell, it's targets one non-magical weapon that is unattended or wielded by you or a willing ally. So can you even use it on a magical weapon?
No, well, these aren't magical weapons per se. They've got runes, so I don't know how that works.
It still makes it magical, right? It's
borderline. In this case, I'm not going to undo what you did.
Sure.
So we'll say for at least this session, we'll go ahead and go with it. It worked. And so if you do it again for any of the remaining combats here in this particular dungeon, I'm fine with that. But then we can talk about that more between all the combat or after outside all the combats.
Okay.
But I'm not going to punish you guys for having not brought non-magical weapons or non-enchanted weapons. For not understanding that at this point.
Thank you. That's my only good spell.
All right.
I mean, so, your heal spells are good.
Yeah.
Especially when the party's damaged.
Yeah.
All right. So,
I mean,
you never know.
What's wrong with that?
Maybe it's just been drunk.
So in the room, you see there were four barrels. Now there are three barrels. One has been kind of exploded. The alcohol in here is very, very potent. Like it's very well distilled and it's extremely strong alcohol, which is why it was able to explode quite as well as it did. You know of a few, so there's the paths that you can see out of this room. There is the south, which is the direction you came from after having left the gauntlet area. There's to the left, to the right, and to the north.
Okay. I don't know if I want to use a heal spell. Does anybody have potions? Did we buy potions?
Well, let's I mean, we stabilized him, right?
Yeah, he's stable. He's
not going to bleed out.
Yeah. So, is he conscious?
He is not conscious. He lost consciousness from an exploding barrel of alcohol.
Can we wake him up?
I don't think I bought any heal. I don't think I found any heal stuff.
How do you intend on waking him up?
Just shaking him. I'll shake him a little. Shake him a little.
Unstabilize him.
Just kind of smack his face a little bit. Hey, wake up.
Shake him, don't stir him.
Yeah, there you go.
When you shake him, you definitely shake him. You shake the heck out of him.
Yeah.
Nothing happens.
Oh, well. Okay.
All right.
Can we do a medicine?
I don't have any.
If we do a medicine check on him, does that get him to like zero hit points or one hit point or...
You can potentially make a medicine check, so that will spend 10 minutes healing him. But if you'd like to make a medicine check, you can potentially patch him up enough to, I believe it's 1d6 you can heal him by, just essentially by using bandages and whatever else to kind of get him back up and going. But
is there, so
the question is, if you critically fail on it, you can actually wound him. And the other thing is it takes 10 minutes. So you have to ask yourselves, do you want to spend 10 minutes doing that?
No, this zombie attack, we're supposed to do something right now.
We hear combat happening down any of the three hallways?
You can hear combat happening down to the left. And you hear combat happening to the north.
Okay. I'd like to search the room quick. Check the room for...
The current room?
Yeah. Are the barrels actually full of liquid or are they hollow? Are there boxes that might, just give it a one quick over.
That's right. So the barrels, so there are two on the top. One is no longer full of alcohol. In fact, it's just kind of a scorched remains of a barrel. Another one is still about half full of alcohol. The two barrels to the south The one on the right of the two is still full of alcohol. It actually appears to be mostly full. And the other one appears to be empty, the one in the bottom of the room to the left.
Sure. Is it openable? Seems like that's weird.
There's taps that you can open on them. But they also appear that they've been damaged, potentially. Additionally, there's a table with it's mostly just scraps of food. It looks like there may have been a meal eaten here. But there's not much left. Whatever was there has been consumed. And then also in the room, there is what looks kind of like a rack of wine bottles. It's about half full of wine bottles. The bottles themselves on the rack are still full of wine.
I move up to the wine bottles.
Okay.
So do I. I want to do a mercantile check on them, see if they're even worth anything.
Okay.
See if there's any good years.
Sounds good. So... you go ahead and give me a mercantile lore check on those to see if there's any vintages you recognize as being, high in value.
One second. It's a lore check. Oh, I don't have lore on this one. Let me go back.
I thought that was one of the lores you got as part of your background.
It is. I'm talking about roll 20. It's roll d20 and then plus the modifier, right?
Correct.
That's not it.
It's there we go. Yeah, slash roll.
19.
19. With that, most of the wines are more or less cheap wines. The other thing you notice is there's almost no two wines that are the same. You do find two different bottles of wine, and actually just all also recognize these, just kind of being a more cultured and aristocratic person. He also recognizes them. There is two different types of wine. There is this type is what the label says, and the other is this. So I'll let you guys read the labels out if you'd like to. But you both recognize. So Jethal recognized those as extremely good wines that you could probably really enjoy with a nice block of cheese. Whereas meanwhile, Tegan recognized those as being able to fetch a pretty penny in the secondary market.
These are excellent wines.
They are both between 40 and 50 years old.
Ooh.
We're gonna sell those for a lot of gold. Let's go. Let's grab them. I'll grab one. You grab the other.
I grab the Vibria Blanc.
That means I got the Bleeding Aquata Noir.
It's hilarious watching foreign words.
Yeah.
So
I need to do that more often.
I see Jethal Tegan run off to the wine thing, and I go, gentlemen, now is not the time to be shopping for wine.
A zombie apocalypse, and they're like, ooh, wine.
I mean, we gotta have something to celebrate after this is all over, right?
All right, let's go.
All right. Let's. From where we're at, which one of these seems to head deeper into the territory of the Dreadcounts? I assume we're coming from the gladiatorial pit or whatever, which is probably not the center. So, does it feel like going in one direction or other would lead further, deeper into the thing, or is just going to wander randomly?
So you're trying to figure out which is the best way to find the treasure room you're looking for. I got you. What you're probably wanting to look for is you're honestly kind of lost as far as where you're going. Your guess is probably to the north at this point, especially that's definitely the direction Tegan's leaning right now.
And that's where combat was coming from, yes.
Combat was coming from north and to the left. Now, at this point in time, you guys also hear a very strange noise coming off to the right, almost like a magical sound.
So let me, if we enter the center of the room, can we see down these hallways, or are they... just dead ends.
Yeah, with no, them. You can see down them. I'll open them up here. Give me just a second.
Yeah, I rolled a perception. I want to see what's down them.
So there's something in this room that I'll reveal in just a moment. And this way you see a so to the left, you see a broken vase. To the north, you see it continue the hallway continue on and bend to the right. And to the right, you see a open room that's kind of more or less open. It looks like there's maybe some like armor stands and it looks like it's more of a training sparring area. Okay. But right into the middle of that area, you see a just this sort of magical just something going on there. Like just raw energy in the room.
Okay.
I think we should head north, see if we can find the vault.
So,
unless you guys want to sit here and try to revive this guy and see if he knows where the vault is at.
So, I do have a quick question for you guys. Does anyone, who is in current possession of the gemstone that Ralos the Necromancer gave to you guys?
That would be me.
Yeah, I told you.
Guessing it was Hup.
Yeah, it's Hup.
It's Hup.
Yeah.
Okay. How did we let this happen?
Hup or Aether was the two I thought that it could have. So Hup, you currently have it. Do you remember the instructions that Ralos gave to you?
It said, "Time gem. Of great need, swallow this, and you will have great speed."
That is absolutely not the instruction.
Oops. Wasn't it like when I'm going to send a helper to guide you to me, and you'll know the time by the crystal or something like that?
Nope, not that either. What he said was that find a body, put this crystal on the head of the body, and that will summon me to you, so I can help you find your way to the crystal once you get past the gauntlet.
Oh, so we got a coup de grace this guy.
I think is it just a body? It's a human body, right? Or not like a non-zombie body, right?
It's a body. Is the only instructions you get.
We'll have
the gem in like 8 hours.
Let's do the zombie then.
I say we do the dread crown, dude.
Let's do the zombie. I don't want to coup de grace.
Well, he's already dead, right?
No, he's not dead. I stabilized him.
Knocked out.
Fair enough.
So zombie.
There was another dread crown that was dead too, though.
Oh, there was? I didn't know that.
Yeah, back down the hallway as you were walking up this way.
All right, let's go to use that one. I don't want to kill somebody when they're helpless.
Okay.
I put a sword in the guy's hand.
There.
He just moved. I saw him.
All right, so I don't mind. I'll go put the gem on the other body. That's fine.
Okay. As you go to do that, that magical energy that was in the room to the right finishes whatever magical thing it was doing, and suddenly you see a woman in place of where the magical energy was.
So now there's a magic woman to the woman. There's a woman to the room. A woman in the room to the east, right?
Yes, a magic woman in the room to the east.
Okay.
No, so she appears. She appears kind of in the flash of light. She's wearing a black robe and is holding a dagger in one hand and a short sword in the other. She walks up, pulls back her hood, and says, "Okay, finally, I'm here. So, you guys probably don't recognize me right now, right?"
No, who are you?
Okay.
I'm kind of thinking it's the woman that we left tied up in the hotel back.
Well,
the one we thought we killed.
She points at you each and goes, "You're Jethal. You're Aether.
What?
You're Tegan. And I don't know who you are."
How do you know us?
Did she point at the right people?
Or
did
she she pointed at the right people. And when she got to Hup, she didn't recognize Hup.
Gotcha.
And she goes, "Okay, well, I'm
I've met you, but you haven't met me.
What?
That seems illogical.
And we'll figure out who she is next time.
Oh, come on.
And paper, pencil, dice. I got to leave you guys with unknowns every once in a while.
Ridiculous.
Yeah, I know. Fair. But no, so thanks everyone again for listening to Paper, Pencil, Dice. Again, hope you subscribe, listen, come drop us a line on Facebook or on our Discord server. We're always looking to reach out to people. Again, either of those locations, Discord or Facebook, feel free to reach out if you have any questions about role-playing games in general or Pathfinder 2nd Ed specifically. I mean, a lot of us have a lot of experience with role-playing games. Or, heck, if you need help with just setting up a remote game, I mean, a lot of us have experience with, Roll 20, with fantasy games. So, or I think it's fantasy. Is it Fantasy Flight or Fantasy Games?
Fantasy Grounds.
That's right. So, yeah, reach out and let us know if you have questions. We're happy to help out. And until next time, listeners, keep gaming.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Paper Pencil Dice. Reach out to us at podcast@paperpencildice.com. In upcoming episodes, if you have any questions about the campaign, role-playing games in general, or anything for that matter, send them to us, and we may read your question on the air and answer it as a group. Join us next time to see where our heroes end up on Paper Pencil Dice.